The Lansing Symphony Orchestra's Masterworks 5 concert is Saturday night at Wharton Center. WKR's Melissa Benmark previewed the concert with composer Brian Gaber, who wrote one of the pieces in the program, and with conductor Timothy Muffet.
Barbara wrote two essays for orchestra, and they are very much representative of his orchestral style and his orchestral voice, which really didn't change much over the years compared to many other American composers who went through many different phases. Barbara seemed to be fairly consistent. And I think what I really find interesting about this piece is that he calls it an essay, and that when you think of a literary essay, it's a work that is on one subject. And that's what he does with this piece. There's one musical idea, which is the basis for the unfolding of the whole work. The whole work's only 8 minutes long. It's short and compact and based on one idea, rather than what we find in so much music, which is the dual themes, contrasting themes. And this is one musical motive that he develops through the course of the whole piece. It's kind of an interesting design and way of thinking about constructing a piece of music.
The Symphony No. 9, the New World Symphony by Dvorak, is on the program. What do you find charming and challenging about this piece?
Well, the perspective we're bringing to this program is that this is an all-American concert. We have Samuel Barber, we have Brian Gaber, a living American composer, and we have Antonin Dvorak, a visiting American composer. And this is, of course, the work he wrote when he was visiting the United States. And there's a real connection for me between the Dvorak and between Brian Gaber's work, and that's why these two are on the same program. When Dvorak came to the United States, he was, as probably many of your listeners know, was brought here to help American composers learn how to write quote-unquote American music. And to make a long story short, Dvorak said, if you want to find the heart and soul of American music, you're going to look to the music of the African-American and the music of the Native American. And I feel that in Brian, as a 20th and 21st century composer, has done exactly that. And he's really followed what Dvorak set out, what he said is what American composers should be doing. And Dvorak wrote a uniquely American work. All of the thematic material in that is derived from the spirit of the African-American music and spirit of Native American music, all the thematic material. Sometimes we lose that because it's framed in such Eurocentric musical style. Sometimes we lose the American qualities to it, and I think that's our job as musicians, is to keep that strong through the choice of inflection and tempo and rhythmic stress. We can make sure that the spirit of that music stays present in the course of the piece. I think it will be a fresh experience because you will have heard something of a descendant of Dvorak's edict to American composers before you hear his work.
One of the things that strikes me about the New World, and again, this could just be me reading into it, it reminds me of friends of mine who have come from New York who like Michigan, and I say, you like Michigan? You're from New York? And the Dvorak piece has almost this, I don't know, boyish enthusiasm or something about it, of seeing, it's like he's seeing it just through delighted eyes.
Absolutely. And there is, you know, Dvorak, and one of the things that actually makes him challenging as a composer is that it's very hard on the sleeve in a way, in that there's a certain directness to his music that is very grounded and very simple and just straightforward. And I think that that's what we're seeing in that.
So we go now to composer Brian Gaber. You are based out of
Tallahassee, Florida, Florida State University.
Tell me about the poems that you based Ancestral Waters on.
Well, there's two. The first one is a poem of Langston Hughes. It was written in 1919, I believe, and that's called The Negro Speaks of Rivers. It was the first poem he ever had published, 17 years old. And it talks about his relationship to the physical land. He was traveling with his father up the Mississippi and seeing the image that he says that is really moves me is he says that he sees the river as being like his veins and the blood flowing through his veins, and how other rivers have been important to his ancestors. He talks about the Congo and the Euphrates and the Nile.
I've known rivers. I've known rivers ancient as the world and older than the flow of human blood in human veins. My soul has grown deep like the rivers. I bathed in the Euphrates when dawns were young. I built my hut near the Congo, and it lulled me to sleep. I looked upon the Nile and raised the pyramids above it. I heard the singing of the Mississippi when Abe Lincoln went down to New Orleans, and I've seen its muddy bosom turn all golden in the sunset. I've known rivers, ancient, dusky rivers. My soul has grown deep like the rivers.
The second poem I actually looked for in relationship to the Langston Hughes poem. I've been aware of Langston Hughes for many, many years. And the second poem, I wanted to find a poem by an African. And I found a poet named Joe Coleman DeGraft, who is from Ghana, which is one of the countries where slaves were taken. And he talks about standing on the shore of Africa, looking back to America and looking at the path where his people have been taken. And I think the most important point for me is that I don't know what any of this is like. I can't hope to experience it. But what I can hope to do is just musically set it in a musical setting that is as respectfully and emotionally as I can. So that was my goal.
And interestingly, it does incorporate kind of some of that old world, new world thing that the New World Symphony has.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because with anything I do, a lot of things, terms come up like jazz influenced. And it's jazz influenced, but only because I'm jazz influenced. It's what I grew up with. And Tim and I were just talking about Porgy and Bess. And so much of Gershwin, you can hear he was trying to sound like African-American music of his time, which is that's very different than what I tried to do. I tried to just sound like me and let it support the poems.
So tell me about the shape of this piece.
Well, it's three movements. First, we have the Langston Hughes poem, where he speaks as an American. And at the end of that, the second poem has no words. It's just what we call a vocalese. Allison sings it without any text.
That's Allison Sanders.
Yes. And that sort of frames it with the other poem. Now, the second movement we call prayer because it's just this voiceless kind of hope. Not that things will be better, but that things will never be forgotten. And that's sort of my motive behind the whole thing.
When did you write this?
I wrote it about 2 years ago. And it came very quickly. The whole thing was written in about maybe 4 to 6 weeks, which is unusual. It's a 20-minute work. But it just seemed to, and this is not normal for me, but it seemed to just kind of come at its own pace. And as I tell children sometimes who are interested, usually what I do, and maybe it's getting older, that when I write music, I get an idea and then I just want to get out of the way and let the music do its thing. And if I try to force it to do something, it'll probably not work out so well.
That was Brian Gaber. He wrote Ancestral Waters, which will be sung by soloist Allison Sanders at tomorrow's performance. Before that, we heard from Lansing Symphony Orchestra conductor Timothy Muffet. They spoke with WKAR's Melissa Benmark.